Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, fully independent, fourth-generation family office right here in Sun City, to bring stories you may not have heard on those other financial shows. Where the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here.
We do. Thank you very much for being here. Hopefully you all had a very happy, safe, healthy, fun 4th of July, Independence Day, whatnot. 250
all
years.
All 10 fingers still. Hopefully all 10 are still intact.
Have you seen that meme on Facebook? For some of you, this will be the last 4th of July to celebrate with all 10 fingers. So, we were up in Snowflake. Sandy and I Sandy was up there for, I don't know, like a week and a half. I was up there for almost a week. So we got out of the heat a little bit, came down yesterday. Today, by the way, is the 9th of July as we record. Came down yesterday on the 8th of July, and it was like 115 degrees. My car, when I got to the Sam's Club to get gas, I highly recommend Sam's Club for gas. By the way, it's much cheaper. So anyway, my car said 117. I then went to the office where there's an overhang that I park under, and I was in the office for a couple hours, came out, and my car in the shade said 115 degrees. By the time I got home, my car said 114 degrees. My point being, I don't really care if it's 114, 15, 17. This is stupid. Arizona's stupid. My financial advice of the day, move out of Arizona. So I think that being a snowbird, I guess, is the way to go. So anyway, sorry about that. So let's get into it. Let's start out with shout outs. My first shout out, Matt McClure. Thank you so much for the last couple of weeks. So, you know, we need adult supervision, and Matt did that very nicely. And he kept everything going in the absence of the one and only Sam Davis, who is back today, too. So I'm back from Snowflake. Anthony, I don't really talk to you much, so I don't know if you went anywhere. But Matt, but I know Sam was out of time. Can you talk to us for a minute, Sam? Is it private what you did, or can you tell us what you're doing?
No, nothing was private. So you can ask whatever you'd like.
Well,
I had a good 4th of July.
Where did you go?
I went to Scotland for, I think, just about 12 nights, and we covered a good part of the country. We flew into Edinburgh. We went up to Fife. We spent some time up in the kind of lower highlands as well. So got to see a good part of the country. It was beautiful. Hope to go back one day and check out some more corners of that place. We were there during the end of Scotland's run in the World Cup. So got to watch some of that action with the locals, which was very cool. And then made it back to the States in time for the hottest day of the year so far in Atlanta. And that was the day that my HVAC system decided to stop working. So immediately had a nice little to-do list, called a few places that basically told me to pound sand, then found one very, very friendly technician who came out and helped fix the thing in like 30 minutes. Long story short, it turns out that ants got into an electrical component that prevented the outdoor fan from kicking on. But we are now fully operational, and we're about 74 degrees in the house right now. So we're at a really good spot. Did some 4th of July stuff with the in-laws, and now back to the usual routine and doing the show with you guys.
Edinburgh's fun. How close do you stay to the castle in the heart of town?
Very, very close. We were probably a 5-minute walk from the Royal Mile. We were staying right near the University of Edinburgh. So very old part of the city. Really enjoyed that place. It's, I believe, if not the biggest city in Scotland, it's got to be one of the top two. And it's really not all that large. So you kind of get the city feel without it being too, too crowded. And all of it's like very ancient and medieval. So that was really cool. Yeah, really, really enjoyed my time. Really nice people. It's the furthest north I've ever been on the planet for sure. So right now, this time of year, you pretty much have daylight from 4 a.m. to 11 p.m. So some really long days and moderate temperatures. It kind of hung between 55 and 75 degrees Fahrenheit the whole time. And one of the days that it got up into the mid 70s, some of the locals were saying it was a scorcher. It felt really good to me. So we had a good time.
Nice. Yeah, I really enjoyed Edinburgh. It was everything I expected Ireland to be, you know, when I went to Dublin. But the outskirts of Ireland are cool. But like Dublin as a city is just like any other major city, I felt like. But Edinburgh actually felt like it was medieval times.
Yeah, my only other experience in the UK was in London, which is essentially a modern city. It felt kind of like a bigger Boston, and people have different accents. So enjoyed Scotland a lot and already dreaming about the next time can get over there. So it was good.
And it's funny you're there during the World Cup with Scotland being eliminated. I was in London when London got eliminated. I want to say this was like 2018. Mm. But I was very surprised at the there were so many people out drinking, watching the game, and they, you know, lost the game while we were in this speakeasy. So we're in this underground bar, no TVs or anything, and then we leave, and I'm expecting the streets to be wild. But it was like so desolate. Everybody went home, went to bed. They were done. I was like, thought there'd be a lot more partying afterwards, but maybe only that's for wins.
Yeah, it was a good time. What did you guys get up to for the 4th of July?
I didn't do anything. I hung out with the dog. Actually, I got up on my roof for a little bit and watched all the fireworks that people are setting off in neighborhoods, which is wild because it's super illegal here. But the cops did absolutely nothing about it because there was all these projectiles, every neighborhood I could see.
Nice.
JR, what'd you do?
Well, we were up in Snowflake and we laid low. Usually we go from Snowflake to a little city called Holbrook. They have some of the best fireworks I've ever seen in my life. But Sandy's cousins, they weren't able to come up this year. It was just kind of quiet. So we laid low, stayed home, didn't do much. So it was the first time in a while that we didn't go watch fireworks, but it was kind of nice. And the dogs, I mean, we're kind of isolated out there. We're out of the city of Snowflake. So the dogs, they weren't bothered at all because we never heard a firework. So that was good. So thank you, Sam, for sharing what happened and welcome back. It's good to have you back. So one other shout out, we had a voicemail message from a guy named Scott. And Scott, I just want to say thank you so much. So he's definitely a loyal listener. We've heard from him before. And he was basically, he's a little bit worried because as I'm talking about data centers, flock cameras, he's worried that you know, I could have a target on my back. And I appreciate that worry. All we do is we take other people's information. I spend about 8 hours a week reading, watching videos. So we take other people's information, package it, and give it to people for 1 hour a week. I am by no means recommending people damage any data centers, flock cameras. We have a couple articles today that we have to at least touch on when it comes to flock cameras, and I'll get into it a little bit deeper. But our show is on current events. It's not a financial show. It's not an infomercial. If you've listened even once, you know that. There's plenty of those out there. If that's what you want, there's plenty of them there. If you want to see our financial side, come in the office. We'll go to you, give enough notice. I know, Scott, I'd love to meet you. I know you're probably about an hour away from the office. You know, I'll make sure we block a day to go to you if that's something you want to do. But I will tell you, we are financial people during the week. Our emphasis is on planning over products. A lot of our heartburn with financial planning is we see products, but they're not usually part of a plan. So we're a little bit different. We tailor make our plans for every person we meet. So education over sales, we do all the good financial stuff. But on this 1 hour a week, we're sounding alarms. We're trying to wake people up. If you watch the mainstream news at night, you're not hearing anything that we're talking about. They'll glance over the topic and that's it. So we're a little bit different, but I appreciate the concern. I really, and if I get in hot water over what I say, I'm not going to change what I do. I mean, if I somehow get pulled off of this show, that's one thing. Then I guess I'll change things. But all I'm going to keep doing is gathering information that you're not getting on those other radio shows, as Anthony says every week. I did have a friend up in Snowflake, had a friend. It's there's a couple up there that we know from the Valley, but they moved up to the Snowflake area. And we went to a little restaurant called The Skillet this week. And as we're talking, as usual, I get into how things are changing, how the Valley is changing, how lucky they are to be up there full time. And she basically said that, you know, with what I'm shouting at on the radio show, I'm not making any friends. She's like, you're going to lose. You know, it's too negative. It's too much negativity. And I, something that occurred to me after that the breakfast we had, I'm not here to make friends. I will tell you, I mean, I'm here to sound alarms. So this show, if it's upsetting, you don't need to listen to it. You always have a choice. But my thing is, there's a lot of people that seem to want to hear this stuff. They want to hear what's really going on and not what they're seeing in the news. So I'm not here to make friends. I'm not here to do an infomercial. I'm here to sound alarms. Everything we talk about, the direction we're going as a country, as a nation, as a world, is going to change your future. That's going to lead to financial changes. So this is intertwined to what we do. But, you know, we always ask for your help. If you're a listener, we ask you, if you want us to be more financial and back it down a little bit, if enough people say that, I'll be glad to. This woman up north, she, you know, is I'm kind of getting the other feedback. People are like, I can't wait to hear next week's show. You know, I had a lot of feedback. I'm still getting feedback from Jeff, the interview with Jeff, and the subsequent interview with Mark Burr on water shortages. I talked to Jeff a little bit yesterday, and it's basically what I need to do. Sam, maybe this is a good idea. I need to get Mark and Jeff on the same episode because they're not aligning. So I wonder if they'd both be open to it and have them interview each other on our show. So we've gotten a lot of feedback over the water show. I think Anthony got a request to send the transcript to somebody. You know, by the way, if the show's a little fast and furious, I know I cover a lot and talk fast. We can always send you the show so you can hear it more than once. You can find it on podcast platforms or on YouTube. We can also send you the transcript so you can read it at your leisure. How fun would that be? If you can't sleep, you know, read a few minutes of JR ranting. That should help. So let's do this. Let's start getting into this week's information. I'm going to knock out the Festivus report real quick. It's a general one this week. If you're wondering what that's about, Rand Paul comes out every year and does a report on wasteful government spending. So, and usually in the beginning of the year, we try to cover a few of those. This year, we're taking one each week to cover. So I'm going to do a real quick one this week. Our country is over $38.4 trillion in debt. Mind you, this came out in December of 2025. We are now $39.3 trillion in debt. But anyway, our country is over $38.4 trillion in debt, and the Treasury Department reports that our interest payments hit $1.22 trillion for 2025, an all-time record. That dwarfs most of the government's largest programs. To put it another way, interest is now the third largest expense in the federal budget, outranked only by Social Security, Medicare, let's see, excluding temporary timing shifts, I don't know what that means. The government refuses to balance its budget, and taxpayers are stuck picking up the trillion-dollar tab. There's a solution. My six-penny plan, the six-penny plan would balance the federal budget by cutting 6 cents off of every projected dollar to be spent over the next five fiscal years. You guys are younger, but years ago, I believe Rand Paul came up with this many years ago, decades ago, and it was called the penny plan. So I believe I know you guys can look it up quickly. I know there was a thing called the penny plan. Well, now it's the six penny plan. Anyway, so a very general category this week, our government's broke and getting broker. How does it affect us day to day when we go out to eat? You know, everything's crowded. Everywhere you go, it's busy. I think a lot of that people are putting their expenditures on credit cards. I think part of our middle class is, you know, sinking deeper in financial issues. But it really doesn't affect us. doesn't affect us at all. So why does it matter? If this just, what if it keeps going? What if it goes to 50 trillion? Who cares? Well, two things. One, sooner or later, it's going to tip. And by tip, I mean basically they're going to have to cut military spending, cut Medicare, cut Social Security. You know, we're going to get to that a little bit later today, too, if we have time. You know, bring up Social Security again because it's getting closer and faster. It's going to change all at once. It's been real slow going. You know, the old expression, how did you go broke? You know, real slowly. And then all of a sudden. So the other thing is the rest of the world. We have to remember the BRICS nations 20 years ago when that was a new concept. They started for a reason. So fast forward a couple decades, it's just getting closer to where the entire world is not going to need us. And by the way, I mean, when you look at Israel, Palestine, Russia, Ukraine, Iran, apparently the ceasefire's off, the MOU's outdated, we're bombing the heck out of Iran again. The rest of the world, a lot of them aren't all that super happy with us to begin with. So if they can get rid of us financially, that would be a very big feather in their cap. So I think it doesn't affect you, me, any of us right now at all. I think one day it will. So with that said, let's see here. Let's just jump into stuff. Let's do some financial stuff. Let's do some financial stuff, and then I'll get to my usual end of the world stuff. So Anthony sent me one article. He sent me an article on the 2nd of July from Reuters. U.S. Treasury picks State Street, BlackRock, and Vanguard ETFs for Trump accounts. I'm guessing you've heard of the Trump accounts. We talked about them months and months ago. I think I coined the phrase the Trump bump, the Trump baby bump. You know, we're going to give little newborns $1,000 seed money. So this article that Anthony sent, let's see here, the U.S. Treasury on Wednesday announced the investment lineup for the Trump accounts, which included ETFs from State Street, BlackRock, and Vanguard. All contributions to Trump accounts will be invested in the State Street SPDR portfolio S&P 500 ETF, which will serve as the program's default investment option during the launch, the U.S. Treasury said. By giving younger Americans the opportunity to start investing earlier, Trump accounts can help millions build long-term financial security, BlackRock chairman and CEO Larry Fink said. Of course, Larry Fink's going to say that. They're using your ETF, aren't they, Larry? So it's good for you. So under the scheme, I love that. Under the scheme, I would have said program, but this article said scheme. The U.S. Treasury will deposit $1,000 as seed money into an investment account for each child with a valid Social Security number born between 2025 and 2028. So this is good timing because it's only a week after the Supreme Court tackled the birthright citizenship issue. And, you know, people, if you come across the border when you're 9 months pregnant and you download over here, boom, you get to be an American citizen and you also now get $1,000. A lot of private money so far from what I've heard is being matched into this. So there's corporate money. A couple questions for you. One, we just talked about the BRICS nations. So when the system changes, when everything, you know, the stock market collapses and everything changes, what good is this money going to do you if we go to a central bank digital currency and they change it where we don't really have our retirement accounts anyway? You know, Elon Musk came out a few months back and said, basically, don't bother saving retirement. We're all going to be on universal basic income. So a lot of changes. The other question I have for you, if you subscribe to the old buy low, sell high theory, are we high or are we low right now? Dow Jones Industrial Average, only 30 companies, newest of which is Google, Alphabet. So it's 30 companies. It hit 53,000. I don't remember what day, Monday, Tuesday, last week. I don't know what day is today, Thursday. It hit 53,000. It's just a number. It's not even a number. It's volume. It has nothing to do with reality, those 30 easy to manipulate companies. So what if I'm right and now would we be buying high and then people will certainly sell low in the future like they do with gold and cryptocurrencies and everything else? Isn't this a really bad time? to be giving people $1,000. I don't know. And this is not a political, this is both sides of the aisle. You know, under Obama, they were going to do the MyIRA. They were going to do like a version of the Roth IRA for people. And it was going to be in government treasuries. So this one's going to be in stocks and bonds. I don't know. We'll see how it ends. Anthony, when you sent that to me, do you have thoughts on it? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? What?
Well, I mean, it's just like your 401ks. It's another way to take money and just directly throw it right into the overinflated market. But it's funny because we talk about, you know, who controls everything. It's one thing to look at NVIDIA and, you know, Google, Alphabet, all these Microsoft, all these big companies. But you look under the actual owners, the people that hold all of these publicly held shares, and it's State Rock or State Street, BlackRock, Vanguard. So, of course, they're getting these government contracts to kind of just keep feeding the system.
Yep, until the system changes. I'm still absolutely positively convinced that the government has their finger over the reset button, and they're just waiting until the time is right. Pardon me, the new Warsh, the new Fed dude. I know the minutes came out, I guess it was yesterday. You know, he's very hawkish, dovish, wants to get rid of the dot plot. I mean, all this stuff, it means nothing to me. A nation that's $39 trillion in debt and has no plan to get out of it. We're in several different wars. What is the Iran war costing us? I know they did a bunch of numbers when we were feeding money to Ukraine, when all of our tax dollars were going to Ukraine. I haven't seen the Iran numbers yet. Looking forward to it. Apparently, the Iran thing, you know, maybe it's another Vietnam. I don't know. You know, we were told it was going to be very quick, strategic, just make sure they don't have any nuclear capabilities. It seems to be dragging on pretty well. So who knows?
Korean War, the Vietnam War, none of these have Iraq War. None of these are official wars.
Right. What are they? Conflicts, skirmishes, scrimmage.
A way to lose a lot of money.
That's what I wonder.
Standing across the world. That's what it is.
Well, and I just, why are we involved? You know, when I read, I guess it was last week, like, how can we still be giving foreign aid to nations when we're broke? I don't get it. You know, the government's got the printing presses on again, and we'd never know that. I mean, I know that. I look into things. You know, we're buying our own debt. We're printing money. It's just, it can only go on so long. And I know I've been shouting it on here for over 4 years. We've been on this show for over 4 years. Never missed a week. Christmas, Easter, doesn't matter. You've got a new show from us every week for 4 years. And it's just, I don't think I've ever been wrong just early, but we shall see. So I'll glance over this article. This is from MSN.com on the 7th of July. Stark Social Security warning issued by Marjorie Taylor Greene. I thought she was gone. I thought she left the government and was gone into the sunset. So, but apparently she's still tweeting or Xing or whatever she's doing. So former, and by the way, I do like her. I thought she tried to upset a lot of apple carts. I can see why she's gone, but I liked her. She was the one that was the most forceful on saying that we're heading towards a national divorce. I still don't think she's wrong. Gay versus straight, black versus white, tall versus short, fat versus thin, haves versus have nots, a lot of polarization. So any missteps could lead to problems in this country. So I don't think she's wrong. I don't know if we can get it back. You know, can we save our country after 250 years and get it back on track? I don't know. We will see. Anyway, Marjorie, what do you have to say? Former Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene issued a stark new warning about the future of Social Security and Medicare, arguing that both programs are on a path toward insolvency within the next several years. Yet we've known that. Green blamed leaders in both major political parties for failing to address the problem. We know that. So far, I'm not getting anything new here. Congress have overspent your tax dollars by trillions and trillions to the point the value of the dollar is going down so rapidly. By the time Social Security and Medicare go bankrupt, many of you won't be able to support yourselves because the dollar will be so weak, she said. That's a very good point. The longer they have waited and continue to wait, the more problematic this is going to be. If your check engine light goes on your car, should you check your engine or just keep waiting until the car doesn't start? So one more thing here. The dirty little secret on how they're going to handle this is this. First, they are going to take Social Security away from the rich. And that won't bother the majority of Americans. Well, no, we don't like the rich. We're envious. But give it a few more years and they'll be taking Social Security away from the middle class too, because the compounding interest on our national debt is growing so fast and out of control that there's no real way to fix it. I've been saying that. So unfortunately, and that's the rich, you know, I'm sure we have all different levels of financial means, you know, from our listeners, but the middle class is probably the most of them, and the middle class are shrinking. I've been saying it forever. The rich get richer, the poor hover, and the middle class are shrinking big time. So Marjorie's right. It's nice that she left office and now she's sounding alarms, because people still want to hear what she has to say, whether they liked her or not. So let's see, more financial stuff. Trump, we're getting close to break time. Why don't we take a break and then come back and do a little more financial stuff before I get to the end of the world? So if you would like to meet us, if you'd like to have a second opinion on your finances, we would love to do so. Reach out to us, if you would, at 623-523-0444. Or you can email us if you're shy. We're at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Again, we'd love to sit with you. We'd love to meet you. We'd love your show ideas, whether it's regarding the show or your finances. We are here for you. Also, don't forget to go to our YouTube channel, if you would. We're at Another Money Show on YouTube. We have 711 subscribers. So it's slow going with new people. So please share our name. But we do have about 534,000 views of our videos and shorts and that sort of thing. So help us, support us, like, share. You know how to do that. Thanks so much. We'll be right back.
Stay right there. Another Money Show returns in moments. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. At Rochford & Associates, we know the road to financial freedom is not a straight path, and the journey is different for every family. And in times like these, we want you to feel confident that you're safely on track to meet your retirement goals.
We want to ask you to prepare for economic chaos. We want you to prepare for bank volatility. We want you to insure and protect your assets with a smart plan.
Our team can help you make the most of your hard-earned savings using strategies that are right for you.
I want more people to sit down with us. When we talk about a financial plan, it's different for every person we meet. We tailor make our plans.
Schedule your no-obligation consultation today by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford & Associates, veteran-owned and proud to serve Americans like you. Welcome back to Another Money Show. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation with JR and Anthony, visit anothermoneyshow.com or call 623-523-0444.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for being with us. Today's been a great day. It's nice to be back down the valley, except for the heat and stuff. The desert, we have a desert tortoise, and the desert tortoise is very active today. So it's been very distracting, because out of the corner of my eye, I see this desert tortoise marching all over the place. Anyway, let's finish up a couple financial things. I really want to get to the end of the world. I've got some really good end of the world stuff today. So here's one article from MSN.com on the 7th of July. Trump just rolled back this Biden era 401k rule. Here's what it means. I don't think I'm going to read much of this. I'm going to summarize it. Let me read just the very last part. It says the bottom line: during the first Trump administration, President Trump issued orders to reduce red tape and compliance measures in several key areas. In his second term, he rolled back several other Biden-era rules, including the retirement security rule. There are pros and cons to these decisions, but ultimately, they show that investors are more responsible for their investments and the outcome of their 401k contributions. Those who wish to have a stress-free retirement would be wise to vet financial professionals very carefully before following advice you know, why I'm always talking about things are likely to change, things are likely to cycle, even after a 17-year run-up since the end of the great financial recession. Let us be a second opinion. We'll even give you questions to ask your advisor. When the market finally corrects, what's their plan? What's the plan? Are they worried about the debt? Are they worried about Social Security falling? You know, Anthony's number one passion in this industry is on income. If they cut your Social Security by 23%, Anthony has already got you with income, lifetime income, income you cannot outlive to supplement Social Security. We take your situation and we better it over the years. When things change for the worse, we've got you as weatherproof as we can be. So let us help you. Anyway, moving on a little bit. Here's another article from MSN.com. Federal Reserve working paper suggests Biden illegal immigrant wave costs 30% of home price increases. If you want to look this up, we'll send it to you or look it up. It's from the 6th of July, MSN.com. This one shocked me a little bit because I'm like 30%. So I read a little bit of this. A new Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas working paper estimates that the record surge in illegal immigration during the Biden administration boosted employment while causing 30% of home price increases and 20% of rent increases. The paper combined immigration court records with government administrative data to create the first ever calculation of how a wave of 7 million illegal immigrants from 2021 through 2024 affected local labor and housing markets. So basically, and I won't read anymore, you know, they give you numbers and statistics. It's basically saying that part of why the housing and the rent is so expensive is not just COVID. It's not just normal inflation. It's also added by all these people that came here and had to have somewhere to live and supply and demand. So it's kind of an interesting article. Again, if you want, I'll send it to you, but I'm not going to spend too much time on it. Moving on. I think it's time to get to the end of the world. So most likely the rest of my articles are going to be from the end time headlines, like this one from the 7th of July, 2026. Health officials warn parasitic infection spreading in North. This is the kind of stuff I like. I don't care about Social Security. That's a slow death. I want to know what's going to happen now. So I first was made aware of this new potential, you know, this will be an epidemic or a pandemic or some sort of demic. I've got an old neighbor named John, and John texted me and asked me if I'm washing my fruit and vegetables more than usual. I'm like, what? So I hadn't heard about this. So John, thank you for opening my eyes. Then I look for it and it's everywhere. So let's see here. Let's see. You know, John is kind of like me. Remember the show? Remember on Saturday Night Live when they had Debbie Downer? It's like we're all going to die. Everything sucks. You know, here's one for you. Wah, wah, wah. So according to a report from WSOC-TV, health authorities are closely monitoring a parasitic infection that is gaining traction across multiple states, raising concerns among residents in the Southeast. The outbreak involves cyclosporiasis, a condition triggered by the cyclospora parasite, which spreads through contaminated food or water. This is a parasitic infection that causes what we call severe gastroenteritis. That's the severe form of food poisoning, the nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. And what leads people to the emergency room is the complication of profound dehydration that comes as a result of the infection, a health official explained. Prevention remains the most effective defense. Experts strongly recommend thoroughly washing all fresh fruits and vegetables under running water before consumption and avoiding swallowing water while swimming in lakes, rivers, or pools. Really, you shouldn't be that keen on swallowing those waters anyway. This latest alert comes amid broader discussions about parasitic threats, including separate concerns over screwworm parasites affecting livestock in other regions. The screwworm thing isn't over, by the way. We talked about that, I don't know, maybe a month ago. Now there's like 32 different examples in Texas alone of that. So when I first heard about this, of course, I jumped at it because I'm like, yeah, we're all going to die. And then I thought about something. So remember during COVID how it was a respiratory unknown illness and people went out and bought toilet paper and there was a shortage? This one, you have every right now to buy toilet paper. So run out. Make sure we have a run again on hand sanitizer, Clorox wipes, and toilet paper, because this one you have every right. Moving on, I guess there's not much more I can say. Oh, and North Carolina, Michigan, some of the states, it is really huge. Like Michigan alone has over 700 cases as of a couple of days ago. So that is kind of scary. You know, my advice to you, yes, wash your produce and your vegetables. My second piece of advice, why are you buying that stuff? Have you ever yet heard of any kind of parasitic illness from donuts? So spend your money at Krispy Kreme donuts, not at Sprouts. That's my financial advice for you. And by the way, junk stuff that's bad for you is way cheaper than stuff that's healthy for you. So go out and buy Krispy Kreme donuts. Do not buy apples, broccoli, whatever. So let's move on. I got a article, a friend of mine up north named Cindy. Cindy sent me a Substack from a woman named Jana McCarthy. I want to share a little bit of this woman's Substack because it's really kind of good. I can send you the whole thing. The whole thing is kind of lengthy, but it's really good. Anthony, I sent it to you. I do hope you read it. But let me just read a little bit of her work. Again, this is Jana McCarthy. And Jana, good on you, because this entire Substack was beautiful. So the name of it is Get the Flock Out of Here. Remember when the answer to every privacy concern was if you haven't done anything wrong, you have nothing to hide? That was cute. Today, it's increasingly, if you haven't done anything wrong, make sure you have text receipts, Ring camera footage, and several hours of body cam backup explicitly showing you not doing it. Apparently, innocence is now a premium upgrade requiring at least 20 terabytes of cloud storage. I'm only going to read one part of this, that there's a story going around the internet, and apparently it is true. I found a couple different sources. So, and she brings this up. The most terrifying example of this involved Chrisanna Elzer, a Colorado woman who was accused of porch piracy after police used automated license plate reader technology to identify her Rivian, whatever that car is, in the vicinity. Armed with that rock solid evidence, investigators reviewed a grainy video, concluded Elzer was exactly as blonde as the thief, and charged her. The problem? She was completely innocent. What ultimately cleared her wasn't a diligent police investigation or a dramatic last-minute confession. It was Elzer's own dash cam footage, which proved she had never actually stopped at the crime scene. Think about how insane that is. The government accused Elzer based solely on surveillance technology. She defended herself with more surveillance technology. It's hard to know whether to be comforted, or horrified by that turn of events. So part of my whole problem with the whole flock camera thing, it's really pretty soon there's going to be some cases of mistaken identity like this poor woman in Colorado, and we're going to have to defend ourselves. Don't you have to pay for attorneys? Don't you have to pay to defend yourself? Pardon me. So I don't know. Switching gears, the End Time Headlines had an article out on Independence Day, July 4th. U.S. Air Force engineer charged with sawing down flock surveillance cameras receives thousands of dollars from supporters across the country. How much of this should I read? So, Anthony, you asked me to take one for the team and start destroying flock cameras. I don't need to. Others have heeded the call and jumped into action. So that's good, because, again, I'm kind of pretty to go to prison. So I will let others do this. So this guy, a Virginia-based U.S. Air Force engineer, has become a focal point in the growing debate over expansive surveillance technology after authorities charged him with destroying multiple flock safety cameras. Jeffrey Sovern, 41, of Suffolk, Virginia, stands accused of intentionally targeting more than a dozen AI-powered license plate reader systems operated by Flock Safety in North Suffolk between April and October of 2025. Prosecutors say the actions involved sawing down or dismantling the cameras, with some reportedly being thrown from overpasses along Interstate 664, where they shattered. Investigators recovered components, including solar panels, batteries, and wiring during a search of his property. So, dude, you kept evidence from this? That wasn't super smart. So Sovern, who worked as an engineer and mechanic, allegedly used tools such as vice grips to disassemble the two-piece poles supporting the cameras. He faces 13 counts of felony destruction of property, 6 counts of petty larceny, and 6 counts of possession of burglary tools. He has not pleaded guilty to the charges. Authorities link Sovern to the incidents through a combination of evidence, including footage from a separate traffic monitoring camera. When questioned, he reportedly told investigators that the flock cameras were unconstitutional and a violation of his and others' Fourth Amendment rights, arguing they contribute to an overreaching surveillance apparatus that tracks vehicles and builds searchable databases accessible to law enforcement. That is true. In response to mounting legal costs and public attention, Sovern launched a GoFundMe campaign for his defense. The effort has garnered thousands of dollars in donations from supporters across the country. On the page, he addressed the outpouring directly. He said, "There has been a community support for me, and that I humbly welcome." So, Anthony, people have sprung into action for me. Excuse me. I must have seasonal allergies today, or cytosplastosaurus and stuff. Here's something else on the same vein. This is from the End Time headlines. On the 7th of July, your grocery store is tracking your license plate and sharing it with police. Your grocery store? Let me read more. Everyday shopping trips to major home improvement stores are now being captured by sophisticated automated license plate recognition systems that share vehicle data directly with law enforcement networks. Flock Safety's ALPR cameras installed at locations including Home Depot and Lowe's across Ohio and beyond do far more than simply read license plates. These AI-powered devices record a vehicle's make, model, color, and distinctive features such as dents, roof racks, and bumper stickers. The information is uploaded to centralized databases, according to police, creating detailed logs of customer movements that remain searchable for approximately 30 days. I'm going to question that 30-day mark. The systems have raised alarms after revelations that the shared data has supported not only traditional theft investigations, but also immigration enforcement queries. So this is the first time I've thought about that. So they can track immigration. They can go to a Home Depot, for example, and find immigrants. Privacy advocates have expressed strong reservations. Our biggest concerns lie with government use, but we are also deeply worried about unregulated and unfettered access by government and law enforcement to data first obtained by via non-government sources. The legislative director for ACLU said, currently no federal or state laws mandate that retailers disclose the presence of these cameras, the duration of data retention, or the extent of sharing with authorities. Shoppers pulling into parking lots receive no notification that their vehicle's details are being cataloged and potentially distributed across law enforcement databases. That's interesting. So now, not only do you have to watch on 111th Avenue every single block for quite a while, you have to watch hiking trails and other things. Now you also have to watch what stores you go to. That's great. Moving on.
So who's signing these contracts with Flock? City Council? State?
Yeah. I mean, it's if somebody's paying for all this, we are. Our tax dollars are going to put us into a surveillance situation. I'm telling you.
So you tracked down who voted for all of this and allowed this to happen?
Well, you've already got me going and tearing down the cameras. Now you want me to find out who put them up? I only have so much time in my life. I need to get a hold of the Air Force guy and see what his research has found. We're at the stage where I think it's too late to do anything about all this. But we'll see. At least last week you said, yes, it scares you. You said, yes, you're concerned. You're worried about this. Everything's going so fast. Data centers, AI, robotics. Let me read another article that this will freak you out. I'm actually going to put these articles in a new order to get to a couple that it's way worse than flock cameras. It's everything. So here's one from the End Time Headlines from the 7th of July. This, I'm getting all these articles on one day. Emotional surveillance is the next level of Orwellian technology. According to a report from Biometric Update, the next evolution in digital identity and security systems is moving beyond traditional biometrics and behavioral data to analyze human emotion themselves. San Francisco-based Valence AI has raised $5 million in seed funding and secured two U.S. patents for technology that detects emotional states in real time from live speech. The company's pulse emotion model analyzes vocal cues such as tone, pacing, and other indicators, converting them into structured data for use in voice agents, contact centers, sales, and support operations. This development signals a broader shift where emotional signals are being integrated into the trust and identity stack alongside device reputation, behavioral analytics, and transaction history. Just a couple more things here. Voice systems are already central to customer authentication, fraud monitoring, and automated services. Emotional analysis now offers the potential to escalate calls to human agents, trigger additional verification, flag potential fraud, or route interactions based on detected states like confusion, pressure, or frustration. While a person's emotions cannot confirm identity, they're increasingly viewed as contextual indicators that could influence high-stakes decisions in finance, insurance, and customer service. Last thing I'll read on this one, the broader applications raise concerns about privacy, bias, consent, and the risk of turning inferred emotions into hidden risk scores affecting access, credit, employment, or law enforcement attention. So, you know, when you call and you have to prove who you are, when you have a voice recognition, now they're going to check how fast you say who you are. They're going to check your tone, your inflection. I don't know, Anthony. It's going so fast and so furious. Sam, when you were in Scotland, did you see any of this? Did you see flock cameras? Would you notice if you saw them? Is it the whole world going this fast, or is it just us?
I feel like I would recognize them because I've seen them in Atlanta, but you know, everything when you're in a different country, even some place that's more familiar, like the UK, like everything looks a little different. So I'm not sure if I would have noticed. I'm sure they have some sort of public surveillance going on to a certain extent, but really, really not sure.
Well, and I live here, not in Scotland, so I guess I should just be worried about here. I don't know. It's crazy. Let's do another article here real quick. From this one is from End Time Headlines. $300,000 robot dogs are being deployed to guard AI data centers. Advanced four-legged robots are now patrolling some of the nation's largest data centers that underpin the rapid expansion of artificial intelligence infrastructure. These autonomous quadrupeds, developed by companies like Boston Dynamics, are stepping into security roles traditionally filled by humans. Equipped with sophisticated navigation capabilities, they can traverse complex environments independently, monitor for potential threats, and deliver continuous video surveillance while alerting authorities as needed. The surge in demand aligns with massive investments in AI infrastructure. Companies are directly nearing $700 billion towards data center buildouts, an expenditure rivaling the GDP of nations like Sweden. The development reflects a broader shift in the tech landscape. While AI continues to transform knowledge-based work, physical robotics is increasingly eyed for manual labor roles. We're replacing ourselves. I'm sorry. I see AI augmentation. I see robotics, humanoid robotics as a replacement for manual work. What was the black? What's the show? Sam, Anthony, you guys turned me on to Black Mirror. There's an episode about this with like killer dogs that chase down people. This is something out of Black Mirror. So, I mean, this is insane. We're everything's going so fast. And I know that the last few months I've been really harping on AI and data centers and all this, but this is huge. And again, you're not getting it if you watch Channel 3, 5, 10, 15 on your nightly news. So hopefully I'll find some new stuff. Maybe next week we'll take a little time and go more financial. Yeah. Is that enough of this? I mean, but I really think we're living in a real life Black Mirror episode, and it's fascinating, but it's scary as all you know what to me. And you guys are going to be here 30, 40 years after I'm long gone. So good luck to you.
What do we do about it, JR?
Awareness is the first step, my son.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that's it for this week's episode. If you like what you have questions on the show, you can reach out to us at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. But most people prefer to give us a call, 623-523-0444. The number again is 623-523-0444. That's it for now. We'll see you again next Saturday at 5 a.m. and noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. At Rochford & Associates, we know you've worked hard to earn your money, and you've worked even harder to save it. When it comes to wealth management and planning for retirement, J.R. Rochford and his team of specialists have been helping individuals, families, and business owners find financial freedom at their veteran-owned firm for more than 25 years. Rochford & Associates also helps Americans like you with their insurance needs and estate planning so you can be protected from life's uncertainties with a comprehensive retirement plan. Let us help you protect and grow what you've worked so hard for. Take the next step toward financial freedom now by scheduling your free, no-obligation consultation so JR and his team can come to understand you and your family's specific needs, concerns, and financial goals. Give us a call now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford & Associates. Lasting solutions for your family, your future, your life.
Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by Brookstone.